Teach Us to Pray is our title today. Luke 11, 1-13 is our text. I'm thankful to Jason for bringing the word to us last week from a text just preceding this. As we get into this text today, previous to this, Jesus has sent out 72 of his followers to preach in many different villages, preparing people to hear from him. And last week we heard about Jesus at Mary and Martha's, these friends of his, and we saw Martha working and doing a lot of busy things that needed to get done. And as we heard from Jason, it's not that those things shouldn't ever be done. It's just that in this particular case, we found that she was neglecting maybe what was more important. And we found Mary listening at Jesus' feet, and Mary with the greater thing, that while the other things happen, that must take the highest priority. So we learn a lot from Jesus, and the disciples were learning a lot from Jesus. And in as we get to this this thought of prayer in the Jewish life, we find a background of prayer. Oftentimes the Psalms that were written were prayers to God, and so they would often use those as prayers as well. But prayer is more than that, and that was something that even as Jesus' followers, as they were following him, learning a little bit more, they even learned a bit more about prayer than what they knew before that. And John had been teaching his disciples about prayer. So what about Jesus? Would he teach them to pray? The text that we read is, you will recognize the first part of it, probably as the Lord's Prayer, or a kind of shorter version of it. Jesus also taught this. We have it recorded in Matthew as part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's quite likely that that was two separate events. I imagine that Jesus taught things more than once. And so these are probably two different times. And maybe for that reason, maybe Luke just didn't record all of it, or maybe he was simply giving a summary of what he had taught about prayer in this case here. It's a little bit shorter than what we find in Matthew. And so that's what our text starts with. And we'll be learning about prayer as Jesus teaches it in our text today. So our text is Luke 11, 1-13. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Luke 11, 1-13, reading in Jesus' name. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on the journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. And as we think about prayer and what you have invited us to do as we come to you in prayer, I ask that you would help us to grow in that way, coming to you in prayer, learning how to do that and to do that boldly. We ask that you would guide our time reflecting on these words this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're a little more full. You can be seated. We're a little bit more full than usual, so the front isn't necessarily available for the kids, but I want to invite any kids that want to come up to the front here. Come on up. You can have a seat up here, and I'll take a seat right here. We have a few. Got a few coming up. One or two more. All right. Yeah, you can come a little closer here too if you want. All right. Welcome. Glad you came up here, guys. Did you guys hear what Jesus was teaching about this time? As I read it, did you hear about it? Somebody heard, right? He's talking about praying. Do you ever pray? Do you guys ever pray? I think you do, but I'm not getting any nodding here. Do you pray? Yeah, okay. Somebody finally answered it. Good, you pray. Do you guys pray too? Yeah. You can agree with that, right? You pray. Yeah. What is praying? What are we doing when we're praying? Asking God. So is He standing there right in front of us? And we're talking to Him? No. Where is He? Oh, He's in our hearts. Yeah. He's in heaven. Yeah. There are a lot of different ways we can think about where God is, right? As it relates to us. We think of Him as being in heaven. That's true. He's everywhere. That's true. He's in our hearts. Yeah, we get to talk to Him in our hearts. That's kind of weird to think about, isn't it? But we do talk to God, even though we don't see Him, don't we? And today, what we're listening for today is, how can we talk to God? What things can we ask Him for? What things does He want us to ask Him for? And how do we do that? How can we talk to Him even though we can't see Him? And is He listening? What do you think? Is God listening? Yeah? How do you know? Do you ever see a big ear nearby that shows you, oh, God's listening, that's His ear right there? You ever see that? I don't ever see that. No? How do we know that He's listening? How do you know? Do you have an idea? How do we know? Oh, He answers us. Yeah, sometimes we see the ways that He answers us. How else do we know that He's listening? What do you think? Did He ever tell us about it? I think He did. Well, that's what we're going to be listening for. Is He listening to us, and how does He respond? All right, here you go. You can hand out some of those. Thanks for coming up. There will definitely be extras, but you guys can go back to your seats now. All right, I think he's got one for you there. There you go. All right, great. Okay, you guys can go back. Thanks for coming up. All right. Well, thinking about prayer, you know, I was thinking about a man out on a lake in a boat all by himself. And, you know, he's out there alone and he's a little ways from shore, actually a fair distance from shore. He can see it, but it's not really something he could manage to get back to shore on his own if anything happened to him. And all of a sudden there's a rock where he didn't think there was a rock. He ran into a rock. And, you know, this reminded me last week with our family, we were actually up north on a lake and had a pontoon and we were watching the depth finder and see, we're getting close to one island. You know, are we getting close? Are we, you know, are too shallow? A new experience for me. I don't drive a pontoon very often, but we happen to be able to rent one this time. But this man here, he's out on the lake or he's out in the water. He's a ways from shore, but there was a shallow spot he didn't know about. Hit a rock and his boat sank. And so he's out there. He's got his life jacket on. But he's just floating out there, and he's thinking, it is so far from shore. Can I ever get back? Or am I just going to drown out here? I don't know if I can do it. Am I going to make it? And so he prays to God. And he's not somebody that really talks to God ever, but he prays to God, and he says, you know what, God? I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. If you save me in some way, I will go to church every Sunday. I will serve the poor in any way that I can. And he prays to God, and then he says, well, I better start trying to swim to shore. I don't think I can make it, but I'll try. So he starts swimming to shore. As he's getting closer, he realizes, oh, maybe I can make it. And he says, you know, God, I guess, you know, if I make it, maybe I'll come to church at least on, Sundays, most Sundays, and occasionally I'll volunteer to help out other people. And then as he gets closer, he reconsiders and he thinks, you know, maybe once a month, or at least on Easter, Christmas, you know, I'll do a Thanksgiving food drive. And then as he gets to the beach, finally, he gets there and he gets up on the beach and he realizes he's safe and he says, all right, never mind, God, I made it. I'm okay now. Thanks for the offer, but, I made it back safely on my own. And then all of a sudden there was a tidal wave that came and he drowned. You probably weren't expecting that ending to the story. Well, it's a made-up story, so I can end it any way I want, right? But how do we think about prayer? How do we think about prayer? How do we think about talking to God? What is a good way? What about this man? Well, we probably won't approach it that way, I would guess. What is prayer like? What is prayer like, and how do we get to connect to God? Well, first of all, this idea of Father. We have the idea of a Father. It's a new image in the New Testament. We don't often have that in the Old Testament as a way of talking to God, the image of a father that we get to come to as part of a family. For some, maybe that's a challenge to think of God as a father. But the idea that's being communicated here is a good one. A father that we can go to as our father. God's people are always thought of in the Old Testament as the child of God, even the people as a whole, the child of God. But they wouldn't even necessarily address God always as Father. And we'll think about this a little bit later on. But as Jesus gets into this, he addresses God as Father, and then he gets into some of the requests that he sets as a model that we know as if we say the Lord's Prayer, we know some of these requests that God sets. That Jesus sets for us as an example. And one of the first ones is, hallowed be your name. That God's name would be honored and hallowed. And we ask the question, well, is it? What does that mean? And if you've been through confirmation, in our catechism, we say, well, God's name is hallowed even without us, without our prayer. God's name is honored anyway, but we pray that it would be honored among us. So we're really asking that our behavior and words would honor God's name. That we would act and speak in ways that honor God. That's what we're asking for. Your kingdom come. And the reality is, as we're going through these, we could spend a bit of time on each one of these. We could probably spend a sermon on each one of these. And maybe you've heard a sermon on each one of these. We're not going to do that now, but we probably could, right? Your kingdom come. What are we asking for? That God would rule. Now, we know that God is sovereign, so we might say, well, we know that God does rule, even without our prayer. But we ask that He would rule among us, that His Word would be in us, that we would be living for Him as part of His kingdom. And we pray that this would extend to the rest of the world, to the others around us, to our neighbors, to our friends, to those that we come in contact in other places. So, what is the theme of these requests? Why does Jesus give us these requests in prayer coming to God? Well, the reality is that we are, by nature, disconnected from Him. We do not, by nature, honor Him. We are not, by nature, part of His kingdom. We need His kingdom. We need it to come to us. He goes on and he says, give us each day our daily bread. And when we think about that, you know, a lot of times our requests are things that we might need as daily bread, or maybe they're extras that we might be asking Him for. A lot of the things come in this type of category, the things that we are asking for daily life, or maybe beyond daily life. But it's interesting that He's asking us for each day for our daily bread. And what happens when we trust Him each day for our daily bread? The reality is that we need to trust Him to provide those things. We're not storing up things to make sure that we're taking care of our daily bread, but we trust God. And it's not that we don't ever store up things. It's just a matter of our approach to it. Thinking about God and remembering that He is the one. You know, anything that we store up could be lost at any time. We never know. And so we trust Him to provide each day. And then we go on, and we'll see how even this request really is of a similar nature to the others. Forgive us our sins. Again, we're back to our problem, right? Of not being a part of God's kingdom. Forgive us our sins. You know, that we still need to be Him to bring us into His kingdom. As we forgive those who sin against us, we pray that He would give us the grace to do that, to forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. Not that God Himself would tempt us. But we know that there are times of testing in this world. We know that there are, and we want God to guide us through those times so that the temptation that we might face would not be too much for us. We ask God in this request to keep us from those things that would cause us to turn our backs on Him, on our Father, really, as we think about who He is to us. We want Him to protect us from that. That's the focus of prayer, as Jesus taught. It's really centered, yes, on the things that we need for daily life, but so much more than that. On His kingdom, on the grace that He offers to us, on the forgiveness that He offers to us, and the way that we get to extend that to other people. Well, as we think about, as we go on then, and think about speaking to God as our Father. As I said, not unheard of for us. We're maybe familiar with thinking about talking to God in that way, a little bit more familiar than they were maybe in Jesus' day. But sometimes even now, it might be hard to think of God as our Father that is there, right, ready to provide and ready to answer our requests. If we think of God only as all-powerful, can I really approach Him? Do I want to approach Him? Is He somebody that will help me, that will take care of me, that even cares about me? If we think about Him easily, because we can't see Him, we might think of Him as being distant. So because of that, Jesus tells a story to illustrate the way that God answers prayers. Someone, you know, this is just a story, a parable Jesus is telling. Someone receives visitors late at night. It's unexpected. And in that culture, probably more so than in ours, in that culture, it's customary to just provide something to eat as people arrive, no matter what time of day or night it is. You know of our experience in Chad, as Mandy and I were serving in Chad, we experienced that a lot. That's regularly true. At least something, at least tea, you need to be able to make to welcome a visitor. You know, it's pretty strange. They will apologize if they have nothing, if it's late at night and they're not set up to prepare tea to serve you. They will apologize so much that they were not able to serve you as they were hosting you there. If you come, you know, sometimes it's a surprise that you arrive with somebody, and they will apologize. So that's the setting here. It's customary to give something to eat, but they don't have anything. So he goes to the neighbor to ask. Now this is out of the ordinary at this time of night. Why would he be going to the neighbor to ask? Well, he needs to provide something. This is the place he goes. It's still strange. You know, this is not normal to go to the neighbor at this time of night, but it's his only chance. The neighbor is in bed. He doesn't want to be disturbed. He doesn't want to disturb his family. But Jesus says he will still get up because this neighbor asked, not from friendship, but from obligation. This friend was bold enough to go to him to ask, and because he's been asked, he has the obligation to fulfill that. The lesson that we learn from this story is not a lesson of persistence. That comes from other stories. The lesson here that we have is a lesson to come to God boldly. And the other thing that we might want to point out here is that the story that Jesus tells is not so much a comparison. So this person here is like this, which is kind of like God. Sometimes Jesus tells stories like that. He talks about the mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like the mustard seed that is small, but it grows into a great plant. And so there's a comparison there. In this case, it's more of a contrast. And we see some things that are true about this person in the story, and it's a contrast with God. God is different from that. In this case, this is only a friend that the person comes to request. But God is our Father, our loving Father. This man comes to the neighbor at night, at midnight, to request something. It's out of the ordinary. It's an extreme circumstance when he would come to the neighbor to ask for something like that. This is an extreme circumstance. But for God, there is no night. There's never a time where we have to say, all right, it's extreme enough, I guess I can go to God. Right? Anytime, He is open to hear us. In this case, the man is asking a request because a stranger has come to him to request to stay, and he needs something to feed that stranger. But with God, we are not a stranger. We are His children. And we get to come to Him as His children. This request in the story that Jesus told is small. Just some bread. He doesn't want to ask for more. He doesn't need to ask for more. He's just asking for some bread for the night, for the evening. With God, we can come to Him with everything for life. Think about that contrast. A little bit of bread or everything that we need for life. In the story, the neighbor first makes excuses before helping. It's going to be a bother. I don't really want to do it, but I guess I need to. But with God, well, you may know where this is going. God makes no excuses. He never makes excuses that He can't help. God is ready without excuses. And so as Jesus finishes the story, He says, and again, here's another one we could spend some time on. We're not going to do that, but we could. He says, ask, seek and knock. Because everyone who asks and seeks and knocks receives and finds, and the door is open to them. Simply do it. Think about Abraham. If we think about that, what we heard last week, we heard just earlier from that, the previous conversation that Abraham had with God as these men came to visit him, where God renewed his promise with him, and Abraham hosted them for a meal, for a time. They spent time together. We heard about that. And now, as they're departing, God is talking about what is going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah because of the rebellion against him. Really the rebellion of sinful nature that we all really have without God's intervention. And the city is going to be destroyed. But Abraham knows, though it's not stated right there, Abraham knows that his nephew Lot and his family are living in that city. And so he's concerned for them. And he knows that although they've gone to live among these people, which probably it would have been a better choice not to, but he knows that they're still trusting God. And he says, Lot is a righteous man. My nephew's a righteous man. Will you destroy the whole city? He doesn't come out and say, are you going to destroy my nephew along with the others? But he says, are you going to destroy the righteous along with the wicked? And think about his request to God. Bold. He even acknowledges the boldness of the request in the middle of as he's doing it. He says, can I be this bold to even ask you again? Right? Sodom and Gomorrah are judged. Will you destroy even the righteous? If there are 50 righteous. And then Abraham's considering and he thinks, maybe there aren't. I don't know. 45? Okay, 45. 40. And then he goes down to 10. All right, 10. Well, if you know the story, you know God didn't even find 10 righteous there. 3, 4, 3 maybe. Lot's wife even found it hard to leave the city, to leave it behind. A few. That was it. That was all that were there. And the city was destroyed. But the lesson that we learn from this, be bold in praying to God frequently for every need, especially those that seem hard and especially those that are related to His kingdom. The saving of people, really. And we find God ready to respond. So Jesus gives us one more illustration to demonstrate this. He says, asked for a fish or an egg, would give a snake or a scorpion? And we're not necessarily, I mean, it could be, he's thinking of a live snake or scorpion that's going to hurt. But even if it's already dead, it's not like you would kill a snake or a scorpion, mostly, for food. You know, you're not going to offer that to your kids. It's not going to happen. And he's saying here, which parent would take care of kids like that? Now, most parents, I would say, in this world, even those that are not very good parents, that are not very good in many ways, except maybe the worst, there are some who just really are not going to take care of their family. But most, even if they don't treat other people well, will at least want something for their kids. They feel something, even if they don't know how to give it, they want something good for their kids. They feel an obligation to give good things to their kids. And even sometimes it's misguided, but they still have that desire. And Jesus says if we, being selfish, even in our most selfish nature, know how to do that to some extent, how much more will God, who is a generous giver, a generous and perfect Father, how much more will He give? But specifically, He says, how much more will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And you might say, I didn't know that's what we were asking about. I didn't know God was talking about asking about the Holy Spirit. But He says, the Holy Spirit, He will give even the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to guide the rest of what we are doing in life, that guides the rest of our prayers. The prayers that ask for wisdom, that ask for honoring God well, that ask for God's kingdom to come. We ask for many things in this life, but our place in God's kingdom and the spreading of the kingdom of God should be some of the most frequent things that we ask for. Abraham prayed for the city, that the righteous would be saved. I would say maybe we can pray for the city, not so much that the righteous would be saved out of it, or that the city would be saved in a physical sense, although it's always nice when the city is saved in a physical sense. We don't want death and destruction. That is nice. But even more than that, We pray that those who are not righteous would be brought into God's righteousness. That's what we're hoping when we share the good news of Jesus, the hope that we have in Him. We could go into our Colossians text this morning, too, in detail. We're not going to do that. But it shows the way that God changes us from wicked and lost to saved and righteous. He brings us to Himself. And that's what we pray for. We pray that as we individually and as groups go about our daily lives, we pray that especially for those of you who are going to be doing some ministry in a specific setting in the coming days here. We pray that God would save, actually that would save those who are not trusting in Him and bring them and make them righteous. That's what we're praying for. We pray that in all of the contexts in life. So as we think about how God has, how Jesus taught us about prayer, God may sometimes feel distant, but may we be reminded that He is our Father, our loving Father. So we come to Him as Father, as God, as King. We come to Him for every need in life, but especially we come to Him to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us, to bring His kingdom through us, to us and through us, to those around us. We pray for that in everything that we do. Let's pray now. Father, thank You for this word to us. Thank You that we get to come to You as our Father, our loving, caring, perfect Father, whose only desire and ability is to love us and serve us. Thank You that we can come boldly to You with everything in life, and we ask that You would shape our requests, our desires, shape our prayers to match the desire that You have to save wicked people, to make them righteous, so that in eternity the righteous would be saved, and that those that we know would be a part of that group. We pray for that. We pray that Your kingdom would come and that Your will would be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.